Let me make a couple of announcements right at the beginning. We have our budget forum on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. in the second floor of the old courthouse, which is going to be our new home if everything works out, and the legislature, that is, and legislature, clerk of the legislature, and all these wonderful people behind us. Our voting meetings, I just want to remind people, are 10:23, 5:30, 10:25, 6:30, 10:30, 5:30. And if anybody, any of the legislators in the room at this point are considering putting amendments together to the budget as so far, it would probably be worth your time to begin to submit those to Kevin. And so that they don't all come at once. If there are people, you're thinking about it, write it down. Give Kevin an email shot or a call, and your amendment will be on the list. So that's a way to kind of begin the process as we move toward voting. We are beginning with the History Center of Tompkins County. And I hope they're here.
Well, I'll quickly go over.
I'm sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to go over quickly what is on your desks. There is a replacement front page that includes the updated move of a few people today, as well as two sheets of requested information from departments, your PowerPoint slides, as well as a handful of the replacement pages. And I just want to quickly go over what those are. The first one is the Tompkins County full-time equivalents, section 2, page 3. This was just to reflect the changes that were made before related to assigned counsel and personnel that were just, you know, rounding errors. The next one is section 2, page 9. The property tax cap limits is actually 3.15, not what was in there of 3.31. The next one is section 4, page 291. There was an error in requested OTRs that had been filled this year rather than in the next budget. So that's been fixed. That also relates to the next sheet. And then last, county administration, for some reason we hadn't been updating our contractors for county administration, so we fixed that error. That's it.
Thank you, Kevin. History Center of Tompkins County, you are on. Please come forward if you would like.
Jim, the
Will.
I mentioned the pages on the reference on our sheet is right. What page in our book is that? It says 4.1, but it's not.
Section, you're right, that is not correct. Let me find out what page it is for you. It's section 5-15.
Thank you.
Hey, good evening. I'm Scott Callen. I'm the Executive Director of the History Center in Tompkins County. I do appreciate the opportunity to come in and present our budget and talk a little bit about the History Center to the legislature. We are in the closing fifth year of a five-year agreement struck between the county and one of my predecessors, signed in 2008. Multi-year agreement. The 2013 recommendation is $99,026. This is the county support has long been instrumental in shoring up our budget, and it supports right now close to, not quite, but close to 100% of our occupancy costs at the Gateway Center. I talked with Kevin, and he recommended that since we're not looking at any changes this year, I can take a minute or two and just talk about what's going on at the History Center and where we see things playing out over the next few years. I can tell you that we wrapped up our most recent fiscal year setting a record for the number of dollars we've raised locally. It's a good metric for us. That's on the strength, in part, of a campaign for our 8-square schoolhouse in Dryden. Similarly, 2012, we're seeing a record number of constituents served at the center. Since we've moved into the Gateway building, we're looking at about over 9,000 for this calendar year. That represents about a 240% increase over just 4 years ago. So we're seeing a lot more folks come through the door, and we're going to them. Looking forward, I mentioned our 5-year county support agreement expires at the close of 2013. At the same time, our lease in the Gateway Center expires at the close of 2018. I am told, though, that that lease could be terminated even before that. At the same time, my board, myself, and our stakeholders in the community are starting to look and think very seriously about what a future History Center could and should look like. And quite frankly, we're thinking pretty boldly about that right now. We're looking at possibilities related to alternate spaces. And as we move forward in that process, I look forward to working with the legislature on that discussion. We do not have any OTRs this year. So,
questions, please, from anyone in the room? Will.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I drove by the schoolhouse the other day, and it's looking great.
Oh, good to hear.
So I did go to your website, and maybe I was missing something obvious, but I was a little bit curious about your governance structure and also your overall budget. Is that hiding in plain sight on your website, or is it?
it is within the PDF annual report on the website.
Okay.
I can give you a quick few figures right now, though,
Thank you.
In terms of our total budget, the current fiscal year, we're on a July to June year. Our budget is about $345,000 for the fiscal. The county support makes up a little over a quarter of that. Another quarter of that comes from the fundraising we do every year. And then just shy of a quarter is made up from grant-supported projects. The remaining is earned income and one-time project pieces of income. On the expense side, like a lot of smaller historical societies, we're a little over half on staffing. Occupancy is about a quarter. And then the rest of that is related to program and administrative costs. So does that give you a little more of a picture?
And your board makeup?
Currently the board is 16 individuals. The board president is Bill Block. He runs CSIR at Cornell, the social science research. 3-year terms, term limited after 2, and we expect to bring on between probably 2 and 5 people in the coming year.
Self-perpetuating? Is it a self-perpetuating?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Martha? Anyone else? Martha, then Mike. Go ahead, Martha.
Scott, did you say, how many staff do you have?
We currently have 7 staff total. I'm the only full-time person. Everybody else works roughly a half-time schedule, so 4.5 FTE.
Okay, and how many visitors did you say a year?
This year we project we'll close calendar 2012 with just north of 9,000.
Okay, and what can you talk at all about? You said alternative spaces. That's a great tease. Anything more you can say about that?
I wish I could share more about it because I don't know what that means, to be honest. If I can think very ideally about that, and very frankly, I'd love to find a space that's more appropriate for a history museum and an historical center in the community. And as good as the Gateway Center has been for us, as we think about how we'd like to grow, especially beyond the lease expiration in 2018, I think very ideally that a different space, whatever that might be, if it's a shared space, could facilitate some more growth for us.
Thanks.
Mike.
Yeah, could you give us maybe a thumbnail of some of the pros and cons of staying where you are? And also, might you mention how the History Center works with our Civil War Commission?
Happy to, Mike. Thanks. In terms of our space now, the positives are it's climate-controlled. It's very safe. Our collections are in good stead there. But we're limited on that space. In fact, we almost every day turn down offers from members of the community of artifacts and archives that they'd like to donate. And it's hard to do that. But we are we're essentially capped out on our space currently. Another drawback on it, frankly, is that it does not provide us adequate exhibit space. We've developed, I think, as a very strong community resource, where we have not developed and where I think we can, is a driver of tourism. And to do that, I think you have to put out quality exhibits. We've got a great collection. We just don't exhibit it as much as we could be. In terms of the Civil War Commission, of which both Mike and I are members, we partner with the commission on its programming. We've hosted some programming at the History Center itself. We promote everything that the commission does. And being a Civil War fan myself, it's just been a lot of fun to be a part of the community's commemoration of the war.
Did you mention the website that you work on that?
That is true, too. I manage the Civil War Commission's website. It is TompkinsCountyCivilWar150.net.
Anyone else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Glad to connect here. County historian. The county historian budget is unchanged. It's $5,000. And I just saw her walking in the back door. So we are at county historian now.
Thank you.
And Pat.
Could you just mention our page and our...
It's 469. It's on the...
Section 5? It's 469.
Section 4.
Section 4.
Section 4. Oh, Section 4, page.
Section 4, page 69.
Would you like to come up here?
Sure.
The county historian. And you have a $5,000 budget, and you might want to talk about that or whatever you feel like talking about.
I'd be glad to. The county historian runs the...
Please use a microphone.
Thank you. I'm not tall enough. The county historian runs the celebration grants, which is a tourism program the county has. We've been given $31,600 for next year, which is a $5,000 increase. We've been asked for up to $50,000 a year, so it's a very good thing for us. The county historian is also involved with running, along with Michael Lane, the Civil War Sesquicentennial Commemoration Commission, an impossible name. We have brought in this year, I have the figures because I can't remember them, we have brought in $85,399, $2,000 from a grant, $170 from showing a film, and $82,229 for the Tompkins County Nurses Scholarships, three for students to be named four Civil War nurses from Tompkins County, and one a grant to faculty for faculty development. The Civil War Commission meets once a month and has had a number of activities, and we invite you to the next one, which is a community reading of the Red Badge of Courage, and that will happen in early December, and I hope you'll look for notices of that. The county historian also runs the group called the Municipal Historians of Tompkins County, which are all the appointed historians in the county from the towns and the villages, and also a number of people who are simply interested in our local history. That group meets once a month, and we do a number of things. This year we were asked by the New York Genealogical Society to update their gazetteer, and we were the only county that had produced a place names book for the county, so we will have the biggest place in this gazetteer, which none of us will probably ever see, but that's all right. That was a good thing for us to do. And in addition, I write and I do other things.
Any questions? Michael.
Carol, it's my understanding that the Civil War Commission had $2,000 a year for the county for 2009, 10, and 11,
sure.
But that there was no stipend this year. Could you speak to if there was a stipend of that amount for 2013, how it would be used?
Well, I think it would be used in a number of ways. We have a Gannett grant for our lecture series, and we've given five public lectures so far. I think if we had the grant from the county for the next year, we would do more things outside of the city of Ithaca, which I think is our biggest failing at this point. We really haven't gone very much outside. We've done some work with Civil War graves outside the county, or outside the city, but we really need to spread further around, and I think we would do more in that direction.
Any other questions? Will?
Comment. I recently stumbled on the place names, which is online, and was delighted to discover that the origin of 5 Mile Drive and 7 Mile Drive, which never made sense until I read the article.
Yeah, good.
Thanks for all that you do.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Martha?
Scott left, I guess. I hope we can find a place for the quilt or for a quilt in our new location.
Mm-hmm. It would be an add-on, probably $50,000 thing, but maybe you could put it over one of the screens that's going to be over there.
Yeah, we'd have to have two of them.
Yeah, I would completely support that. Thank you very much, Carol. Tompkins County Area Development Corporation. I saw Michael in the back of the room and Heather. And come on up, Mike. And their sheet is 577, page number.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
Certainly received a lot of information from us recently as we've been meeting with the PDEC committee and presented information to you in our budget request. Tonight, I just wanted to go through a few very basic slides that will remind you of some of the fundamental aspects of TCAD, what we do, why we do it. This you've seen. Let me jump on to some of the reasons why we've requested the one-time funding. And this, again, I think has been explained to most of you. In the past, we had a significant over-reliance on fee-based income. That fee-based income came from some of the large not-for-profit deals that we funded through the IDA and more recently through our local development corporation. And in the past, we also had quite a few medium to large-scale manufacturing projects. But again, the fee-based income was essentially coming from large not-for-profit deals that we funded from Cornell, Ithaca College, and a few others. We're seeing a significant increase in small tech-based deals. They don't, however, typically generate a large amount of fees. So our goal is to return to the sustainable funding model that we had in the past, where basically one-third of our revenue came from employer investment, one-third from county support, and one-third from fee-based income. We believe that's a sustainable and logical funding model. Return on investment. We, of course, focus on job creation. That's our primary mission in life, and The recent data that we have from 2011 is that the average wages for our projects is $23 an hour. So those are good jobs and usually come along with some very good benefits. Another goal that we try to achieve is property taxes, and just the most recent year, our projects have generated just for the county $800,000 in property tax revenue. So clearly you as county government are receiving a tremendous return on your investment. And everything we do generates private sector investment. We don't help companies that don't need our help. We help companies that have a gap in their financing plan or need some kind of assistance. We also work on infrastructure. There's something we call, for example, Heather's Sewer, which was the sewer expansion out in Lansing, which is providing much-needed sanitary sewer to the industrial park off Warren Road. And that's one of the examples of the infrastructure work we do. And we have a very unique in-house capacity for strategic plans and studies. We've created the economic development strategy for the community. We're working on the third iteration of that right now. We've worked with the Workforce Investment Board to create a comprehensive workforce investment strategy, and we also did a sewer and water strategy for the community that I think will go a long way to rationalizing how we use scarce sewer and water infrastructure in our community. Some of TCAD's values that I don't think we can repeat often enough. Our choice is to work with local companies that are committed to our community or work with local entrepreneurs. We spend very little time trying to attract a big manufacturer into our community because, as we've seen over and over again, both regionally in the state and nationally, those companies sometimes decide to leave. So, again, we work with companies and entrepreneurs that are committed to our community. We focus on good jobs for county residents, and I think sometimes we're confused or distracted by low unemployment rate data. Some in our community think of us as a very strong economy. The data right now says that there are 3,600 people that are unemployed. If you count the people that have given up searching for work in our community, that number is 6,400 in Tompkins County, and that's a significant number. In the age group 25 and older, we have over 1,000 people living in poverty. In the age group 18 and under, over 2,000 people living in poverty. So, again, we can't be distracted by low unemployment rate numbers. We have a lot of work to do to create good jobs for people. And we particularly focus on entry-level jobs that have a career advancement opportunity. So we're not just focusing on high-end white-collar jobs. In fact, if we had a choice between a company that provided a lot of good entry-level jobs and a company that's providing jobs for people with PhDs in software design, we definitely go for the entry-level blue-collar jobs where there's room for advancement. As the folks on the IDA know, we measure our outcomes. Unlike most economic development agencies, on an annual basis, we collect an amazing amount of information about the work we do. Who's getting hired, where they live, how much they're being paid, what benefits they get. We look at diversity issues and that kind of information. And I think one of the most important things that we do, and I think really do need to do a much better job at, although I think we do better than most places in the state, we need to integrate our work better with the workforce development system. We do a really good job of creating good jobs in the community. I think we need to do a better job of creating employment opportunities for those people that are unemployed or underemployed. And ironically, it seems like no one ever asks the unemployed or underemployed what they would like to do. And I think we really want to drill down to that level, not just create good jobs and not just train the underemployed for those jobs, but we really need to find out what people's aspirations are and target our job creation activities to meet their needs. And I think that would be really unique for an economic development agency and a workforce development agency to work collaboratively on. So in brief, again, I just wanted to talk in very general terms about what we do, why we do it, how I think we're unique compared to other economic development agencies, some of our values, and some of the things I think we'll be really focusing on in the near future. Thank you.
Questions? And the last slide, all of you have a copy of, is the OTR that's supported by the Senate budget for $170,000. Questions? Hands, please. Julie, Mike?
I understand what you're hoping to get from us this year, but I don't know what the one-third contribution would be thereafter.
Our budget, when we're fully staffed, is about $600,000. That's a staff of five. Right now we have a staff of four, but I would imagine that we'll probably be a pretty stable operation of five people. So the one-third would be basically one-third of that $600,000 level moving forward.
Thanks.
I have Mike and then Peter.
Mike, do you remember the county contribution when it was at its peak, about 10 years ago?
It was about $80,000. And
so if that had expanded at the rate of everything else in our budget, it would, and we wouldn't be looking at $170,000 here, I assume.
That's correct, and I think when it was at its peak, that was before the county asked us to hire a new staff person to manage the Empire Zone. So we've brought in staff at the county's request to relieve the county from the burden of that kind of expense.
And didn't you also take on work from the planning department and administration of some of the grant programs?
Right. We manage revolving loan fund that the county planning department once managed. And as I mentioned, we do a lot of strategic planning and study work that typically would be done by a county planning department, often working very closely with the planning department. And I think the sewer water study is a good example of that, where our staff managed it on behalf of the county.
And one other question, if I may, and that is the $170,000. What would happen if we ramp that up over, say, 2 years or 3 years? How would that affect your budget?
Well, we worked closely with the county administrator. So we went to the county administrator with our need, and the $170,000 is actually a result of his analysis of our need. And that is the shortfall we have in 2013. Getting those funds would sustain TCAD at its current level and allow us to add back in the fifth person. That fifth person, by the way, won't do what the fifth person used to do. That fifth person, we believe, and our board believes, should be dedicated solely to working with local entrepreneurs, providing direct technical services. And we think that will increase even more benefits for the community. If we receive less than $170,000, and really depends on how much less, we might actually downsize from five to or from four to three people, because my board of directors, just like the advice we give private sector businesses, does not want to burn through the fund balance at the IDA and then all of a sudden have zero funding. So it really depends on how much funding we do get, what our options would be, but it's anywhere from adding that desperately needed fifth person back, that's at one end of the spectrum, to downsizing yet again from four people to three people.
Peter Stein, please use the microphone.
Let's see, this is a target request, right?
No, it's not.
No, it is an OTR.
Yeah,
it's a one-time.
But it's not, it's a one-time.
It is.
So, what Why is it, well, what is the plan for the future with regard to this? Will this come back as one times for as long as we're alive, or is there some kind of a plan?
I think all of you will probably die at different periods, but I don't want to make any judgment there. The plan is for a county-led task force that will start soon. There was a discussion at PDAC yesterday about that. This task force will be made up of stakeholders, including county legislators and others, that will determine what is the best way to fund TCAD beyond 2013. Those options include property tax revenues, sales tax revenues, room tax revenues. There's a wide range there.
Okay.
So that decision hasn't been made.
So now I have a question for the county administrator. I mean, this seems like a rather substantial piece of money in here, and I wonder why you felt it was such a good idea to spend that money at this particular point, you know, prior to the, the outcome of the study, so to speak.
Well, we needed to keep the operation in operation while we were awaiting the results of the study. So, again, the long term, there's a structural deficit in this budget, and it's a revenue-driven structural deficit. It relied on fee income that just isn't occurring to the same degree today that it used to, and Michael explained that. So in acknowledging that there is a structural deficit, we've also acknowledged how difficult the answers to that question will be, and that's why the task force and Will has kind of structured this. The task force is being set up to look at what are the solutions for the future. So how do we keep the operation alive today? So we tried to weigh the value of the operation to the county in having an active economic development operation. We found that it was a valuable arm of the county. It's almost like in a time like now, you don't want to cut too far back on your human services because there's still a large element of need out there, nor do you want to cut back on economic development. The economy is beginning to recover. You want to continue to invest in it. But rather than raise property taxes and put target money behind this while awaiting the task force, we felt it was best to fill this gap with one-time money, to pull money out of our reserves to sustain it.
Okay, and I guess the alternative might be to somehow ramp it down for a year, and I gather you think that would be too destructive to the operation. Is that correct?
I do. I mean, it's a small operation right now. There's only, at peak, 5 people that work there. They're currently at 4. So in terms of ramping down from that, you're ramping from small to even smaller. The way we've set up the numbers is there is still some money in reserve. We've assumed that that money will be applied in equal increments over the next 2 years. I mean, we could, Mike asked a question about what if there was a cutback this year, how would you respond to it? Well, there are two ways. One, you could reduce your expenses, and there are consequences. Or you could spend down reserves faster, but that simply makes a larger hole to fill next year.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I'm going to let Mike make a comment.
And just a couple comments. As we illustrated, the return on investment for the funds you put into TCAD is substantial, and I think mathematically we generate more in property taxes for you than you invest in us. Another point is that your investment in TCAD leverages private sector investment, unlike other communities where the burden to fund economic development is 100% county, like in Cortland County and Ontario County. That's all 100% county taxpayer dollars.
Thank you, Michael. Martha, and then Will, and Dooley.
And just to follow up with that, some counties have county employees doing economic development, so that's you couldn't bring in private sectors contributions to, they're not going to donate more than their property taxes to pay for any part of that operation. Michael, I guess it's to Joe. Did the whole legislature get the memo? I'm trying to remember.
I thought so, but maybe not. There is a fairly lengthy briefing memo to PDAC that I prepared that lays out a lot of these financial issues and
right.
Did I send it to everyone?
And then the charge.
Okay, great.
And the charge now, which PDEC kind of blessed yesterday, so that with the task force members, that could be sent around too. Okay. And Michael, if so you said a new fifth person. So you've held off hiring, and so the fifth person you would reorganize what they would do, or so it's not exactly the same as what Heather does. It'd be
our goal is to establish an SBA Small Business Development Center here. That fifth person, in theory, would be the Small Business Development Center director. But unlike some small business development centers, we wouldn't be assisting retail and commercial. We would be assisting traded businesses, companies that sell a product or service to customers outside the county. And we have such a growing deal flow of high-tech companies, we need to meet that demand. And we hope we can grow another group of companies to be the next Keonix, which now has 200 employees, or the next Advion that has well over 100. We're seeing the deal flow, and we don't have the capacity to meet the demand for services.
And if I understand, if you have a small business development center, doesn't that mean you are eligible for other kinds of grants or funding streams?
There's that, but the primary interest in ours is that it brings us all the the Small Business Development Center resources, both from the state and the federal government. And there are a lot of technical resources that come with that. The funding right now is pretty flat, so we wouldn't receive initial funding from the state, but we would get in the queue for funding in the long run. That's our goal.
Okay, thank you.
Before Dooley, I'm sure you're all aware and you've looked in your book, but right now Tompkins County gives $7,750 to TCAD. Dooley.
If you could, I'd like to know what the argument would be for use of room tax to support you.
I'd be glad to address that. If you look at...
I didn't hear the question, I'm sorry.
The question is the logic or reasoning or justification for using room tax dollars for economic development. If you look at the heads and beds, 25% of those heads, and they're attached to bodies, so it's people, are tourists, 25%. There's a percentage of them that are business visitors, and then there's a significant percentage that in one way or another are here because of Cornell University and Ithaca College. So TCAD's activities put heads in beds.
I did not quite grasp the percentage that we're here for business purposes.
I think it's 27%.
I think it's about 20%.
27.
27%. Oh, and I have loved one now. And I'm sorry, Will.
Thank you, Jim. I just wanted to, and I apologize for making a comment once again, but part of the charge of this special task force is not only to consider funding alternatives, but start with the very, very basic question, is it advisable to use county tax resources, whether they're from room tax or property tax, sales tax, or whatever? Is it advisable? Is it worthwhile doing this? Are we getting value So that's a very basic question that we will be charged with asking, and the other thing is that sort of related to that will be if we are significantly increasing the level of county support, is there some difference that we would want in terms of the relationship or the mechanics of the operation, and we will be open to considering those questions as well. So it's a fairly broad. But very, very time-constrained effort, and we'll try to make sure that everybody gets the newly accepted version that was that went through PDAC in time.
Leslie.
Thank you. I appreciate the thinking and, you know, some of the fancy footwork that went behind trying to keep TCAD doing what it is doing. Mike, I have a request of you, Joe.
Let me go to Joe first. I did see your briefing among the other 453 of them that you sent out, so I don't remember all that it said. But I am going to ask, Mike, you talked about return on investment, and I'm interested in seeing what some of those numbers would look like. Mm-hmm. What do we get back?
Okay.
So if you can put something together, that would be very, very helpful.
A great idea. We've got great metrics that we can provide.
That would be great. And is this money, am I understanding that this would help in hiring the fifth person?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd be interested in what the hiring process would be as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Michael. Oh, you have a question, Mike?
No, I have a comment, and I'm surprised this question wasn't asked. And we're here because the deal flow and the revenue flow to the IDA and Local Development Corporation is down. Therefore, those organizations' ability to support TCAD is down. Well, what happens if it goes up? You've made this commitment for 2013, and I think you'll figure out a way to support TCAD beyond 2013. What if it goes up? Well, we hope it goes up, and I think we're going to make it go up, and then we'll have a wonderful challenge on our hands. What do we do with extra funding? And my recommendation right now is workforce development, creating programs that provide internships and work experience for high school students, and perhaps apprenticeship programs. But we're certainly hoping we get to that point, and obviously it'll be your decision on what to do with those funds, but we hope to be in a position that where we've made that good situation happen, and we're back here trying to figure out what to do with that money.
Leslie and Mike.
So you sound like you're on the stomping ground. I'm going to hold you to that comment that you're going to see the funds go up when you come back next time. It's an interesting question, and I want to point out that's probably why we're at one-time funding right now, so that we'll look to see what difference will happen, and then maybe we don't have to do this again.
Mike.
Mr. Chairman, I want to respect our format here. I have about 100 comments I'd like to make here, and I really think this issue is so fundamentally important to our county in this budget process that we really need some place where we can really talk about all of these issues more at length.
Well, Martha, were you going to say the same thing?
Well, Youth Services isn't scheduled to come until 6:30.
You know what? I noticed that myself.
What?
So what I was going to say was if people, I think we could make some comment, allow people to make some comments if you would like to do it. It's one of the few times that Mike had the opportunity to get grilled by all of you.
Yes, great.
And he was very much looking forward to it. So if you want to make some comments, Mike, we'll start with you.
I'd probably do 100, but let me just say a few things. One, I think we got a terrific public-private partnership in TCAD. I was one of the people here on this legislature who complained dearly when we stripped away the money from TCAD from our budget to fund other things like criminal justice programs. And I can remember back when we didn't even have a program set up that we were funding $1 million for those programs. We've given them more things to do. We've lessened the cost in the planning department by asking them to do this at that department. I'm very opposed to raiding the room tax money to support TCAD. And I'm also opposed to having TCAD rely on the income from its projects as its sole source of revenue. I think we need to bite the bullet, step up and do what we've taught. We always talk about economic development, but the county has been very tepid in its support. I think it's Cortland that spends $350,000 a year, and what do we spend, $7,000?
Yeah.
we need to do this. And if it means tax and sales tax money, I think we need to do that.
Anyone else? Martha.
I won't respond to that yet, but I think that's really glad to hear. I agree with you entirely, Michael, and Mike, on the value of TCAD and the structure is well positioned so that we're leveraging the most amount of money from employers from the private sector, and I think it's a smart way of doing this. I'm going to withhold judgment on the room tax issue versus other ways of funding it, because I'm concerned about anything that comes out of the county's general fund competes, even if we didn't have a tax cap to worry about, it competes directly with other things that don't have anything to do with room tax, and there's no way to justify it. So I'm concerned about the conclusion they raised. But, I think that's why we're having the task force. Michael, I would ask you, this is a critical moment when Cornell is making a huge play in New York City with a tech campus. Can you talk about
I have to go.
Can you talk about what, of all times to consider diminishing our local economic development operation? I mean, that's the choice here. Right? So if we were to, not only do we need this kind of service in a down economy more than ever, but so here's a new opportunity on the plus side. What does it mean for us? What's the tech campus in New York City mean? And how can TCAD help us take advantage of that, which if you weren't here, I don't know who else would do it.
Well, let me start with a general comment about Cornell. Cornell is finally investing the kinds of resources in tech transfer that we always thought it should have. So we're finally beginning to see that deal flow come out of Cornell that we always thought should be there. So without TCAD working with those tech spinoffs, they'll either crater, as we say, or they'll go someplace else where they can receive the services they need. With respect to the tech campus, and we've already seen this with the medical college, we're beginning to see some entrepreneurs that have started companies based on Cornell intellectual property look for cheaper places to build the stuff they've invented. And we're working with a couple medical college entrepreneurs that want to be here, still have a relationship with Cornell, but it's much less expensive to build stuff and live in Ithaca than it is in Manhattan. So we hope that there'll be entrepreneurial activity out of the tech campus that will result in deals that need a home where they're actually making things and creating jobs. And TCAD, with its really good relationship with Cornell, will be delivering technical advice, financial assistance, a place for these companies to go.
So that doesn't duplicate what CTEC does, which is Cornell's own office. That's different.
No, CTEC does not provide. CTEC is really the organization within Cornell that manages its intellectual property. And we partner with CTEC. But once a company gets started and has a license with that intellectual property, they need technical assistance, business planning assistance, they need financial assistance, and they need a place to go. And we, just as an example, have modified our revolving loan funds that Heather manages, where we're actually making equity investments in these high-tech startups before they even have revenues. And that's what they need. And then if they become more successful, they can go on to the CUGA Venture Fund and other funders for assistance.
Okay, thank you. If I could just ask, along with the metrics Leslie asked for, if the revolving loan, if you could like just give us the list of funds that you manage, that's in the TCAD packet every month, but that's an impressive list of funds, mm-hmm. And maybe the business partners who are your investors. That'd be great.
Sure. It
might be on your website. I can't remember. But
Peter. I just wondered, have you seen over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years, any kind of spin-offs in Ithaca generated by the tech transfer that comes out of the medical college in New York?
No, we have not. Just very recently, we've seen two companies come up out of New York City considering an Ithaca location, and that is solely because Cornell hired a very experienced person to manage its life science incubator. They never had that person before, but he's down in New York City looking for companies that would come up, be in his incubator, and if they're successful, they would then graduate out into our community in more permanent space.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a comment, and then I will go to you, Leslin. I think over the years, the TCAD has had a very difficult job to do to interest people and businesses to come to Tompkins County, given the enormous regulations that are in place, how hard it is to place things in different governments that they have to deal with. And I think Mike and the department have done a great job doing that. I'm looking forward to what the task force results are when it comes to how we can fund this organization in the future. And, you know, I can say this out loud without much doubt. I would not like to see TCAD become county employees, where other counties have had to employ organizations that were completely taxpayer-funded. It makes it a lot easier for me if we could develop some other way that we could help them in their funding as they work toward continuing to get their own kind of funding. And my final comment is, I've known Mike a long time, and he doesn't look bad for a 38-year-old guy after having been here all these years. Leslie?
Thank you, Jim. I wasn't going to comment on the birthday.
I came here in 1985, believe it or not.
You were 12.
You just have to throw that out there to the rest of us. Like my colleague Mike over here, there are a number of questions. I'm hoping that we will have an opportunity to engage in a much more involved discussion around TCAD, looking forward to the task force. But while I'm at it, I want to ask, what is the relationship TCAD has with the City of Ithaca, the City of Ithaca's economic development body, arm, whatever it is?
We have a very close relationship with the City of Ithaca. They value our work. Their investment in TCAD right now is twice what the county invests. Mm-hmm. We make joint calls on City of Ithaca companies with the economic development and IURI staff of the city, and we work very collaboratively on some of the major mixed-use projects downtown. TCAD has, through the IDA and other vehicles, delivered incentives to every single one of those projects. So we've got a great relationship with Philly, Nels, Joanne, and the mayor. The mayor sits on my board of directors, as does Philly DeSarno.
Would you please, when you send that metric, share with us what the investment from the cities and is? I'd be interested in that. I don't know if anybody else is, but
sure.
I am. Thank you.
Frank.
I'm sorry.
38, huh, Mike? Mike, with all the activities that TCAD's been involved with and all the businesses that they've come in contact with, some of whom are on your board and whatnot, have the activities of TCAD had a positive effect on these companies where they have not had to hire an individual that performs the tasks that you or any of your staff are performing and therefore save them some money?
That's actually happened in a few cases where we've provided marketing and public relations assistance to small companies. So that's true, and it's particularly true of the very small companies that don't have the funds at any point in, given point in time for a CFO type person. So we've helped them. We've helped, particularly Heather has helped them with their financial information. So when they go to a bank, they have the information a bank expects and a format that expects. And we did that particularly for one company that brews an alcoholic beverage in town. And so we help them put their financials together because they just can't afford a CFO.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you. And Leslin has made a specific request. If anybody wants any information, email us. Be glad to provide it. We're your economic development corporation, but Leslin was first. Thank you.
Youth Services Department.
Is our 2013 budget, and as typical for youth services, our budget presentation's a little different from all the other standard. It does not have quite a million slides, as Kevin said earlier, but there might be an extra one or two. Starting off, it's always important for us to remember our mission and why the Youth Services Department does what it does. So I just wanted to put that up there to let you know this is our mission as we see it as a board and as a staff. Investing time, resources, and funding in communities to enable all youth to thrive in school, work, and life. So it's a pretty big goal and mission that we follow. The pyramid. We couldn't do a budget presentation without it. This pyramid is around how youth live in our community. It's a continuum of care approach. At the bottom is the universal prevention or recreation services. The next level is the youth development, early intervention services, services that are a little more intensive than general recreation. Moving up into the purplish color is the targeted intervention, those services provided by agencies, and then at the top is the residential services. As we've said in the past, the cost goes up as we move up the pyramid. Also, the numbers of youth served goes down. That's the aim, that more people can be served across the board and the recreation programs, then moving up to youth development, agencies, and then treatment and residential services. You'll notice that the numbers, when we looked at 2010, we've seen recreation partnership has stayed pretty much the same. We've actually seen a decline in the municipal youth service system of about 600 youth between 2010 and 2011. So about 600 youth didn't receive services this past year. And then in the targeted intervention in the agencies, we saw an increase of about 150 to 160 additional youth being served there. The recommended budget that's in your budget book. Some of the major influences in this. There was a loss of funding from New York State Office of Children and Family Services. That loss was nearly $50,000 that we received in a mid-year cut. There has been a continual reduction in staffing and departmental spending. We've been operating on an extremely lean budget. This also means that we haven't replaced equipment like maybe we should have. And we've also reduced things such as training, mileage. So some of those reductions have occurred over the past few years. The municipalities continue to struggle following the 2011 cuts to the municipal youth service system. The municipalities have started working with the Smart Work Group And so we've been bringing groups together to look at the entire system to see how youth development can best be reached in all the local communities. The municipal officials and the youth commissions met last week, and we're starting that process, but it's been quite a few years now in the making to look at a redesign of a system that's over 22 years old. And then the departmental alignment surrounding the 2011-2012 community-wide youth needs assessment findings, looking at the future beyond 2013, aligning our priorities, ensuring that we are meeting the needs of the community, looking at the gaps that we have, and then redefining how youth services does some of what we do. When we look at building the 2014 budget, it'll be the first time in, I believe, 8 to 9 years that we've opened up the funding cycle. So that means that all of the agencies that the Resource Allocation Committee currently recommends as funded would have to compete again for that. As the reductions continue to occur, we just want to be mindful that we're helping people reach the needs of those that need it with the money that we have. So I'm going to pass a chart around because there's no way you could read this. This is a quick glance at the last 5 years. It's on the back. What this shows is that from 2008 to 2012, there was a reduction in target dollars of about 26%, and in state aid, there was a reduction in reduction in funding of 58%. At the bottom, it talks about some of the one-year, multi-year funding that was received. One thing to note is the 2013 requested level includes over targets, all over targets, even those not recommended in the county administrator's budget. In the packet that I just handed out also explains more about the over targets that we'll discuss in just a minute. Our full-time equivalent has decreased over the past few years and will continue to decrease. One of the over targets will actually allow a part-time position to continue for half of the year, so that's the 0.25 that you see. Here are the over targets requests supported by the tentative budget. The first is departmental spending. It's building back some of our spending, as well as that position that I had just mentioned. The second is to help with the municipal youth services programming. This was cost savings from municipal youth services 2 years ago, and we thought we would put it back into the system. This could be a competitive something from the municipalities. If they want to do an extra training or take the youth somewhere, they could compete to receive a small stipend. And then the final would be computer and programming upgrades. The over-target requests not supported by the tentative budget are on 4410 and 4411. The first is for our agency portion. When the Resource Allocation Committee meets, they separate our budget in three specific areas. There's the departmental budget, the agency budget, which would be targeted intervention services, and then the municipal budget, which is the youth development services. So this is in the agency portion. The first one is Cornell Cooperative Extension, 4-H Urban Outreach. It's for 6,000 of the 30,000. And what has happened to this program over the last several years is the budget has been reduced again and again to a point where the program is operating 2 days a week. And 6,000 would bring them up to 3 days a week. So it's increasing the program. The next one is Bridges for Youth and Families. This is a $9,000 request. Bridges for Youth and Families targets runaway and homeless youth and offers an anger management and life skills program. This would help restore that program. They're looking at revamping it, so it's not just anger management, but it's learning how to use all sorts of different skills. So that's where this would go in. The Learning Web Youth Outreach, whom was here on Tuesday night and talked about some of the services they offer to runaway and homeless youth as well. The Learning Web SEEP, this is an apprenticeship and exploration program. And again, this would be under youth employment, helping provide first-time experiences for youth. And then the Ithaca Youth Bureau Youth Employment Services, again, for youth employment. When the Resource Allocation Committee met, they felt that due to all the reductions that have occurred around employment, runaway and homeless, and then again with the urban outreach, that those were the priorities that needed to be restored and pushed up a little because of all the cuts they've received over the past several years.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? Which were the priorities?
Employment, runaway and homeless, and then the urban outreach piece because of where it was operating at.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And then the final OTR in this piece is for the Municipal Youth Service System. It's $9,700. What this breaks down to varies for the municipalities. You have the high end of which would be the city piece, which is $3,644. And then you'll see that they keep getting a little lower as we move down through until you end up with a Danby number of $315. Now, all of these pieces are, this was because of a state aid cut in the fall, or in the spring, and so we're looking at maintaining the current level while they go through the redesign. And this is just the pyramid again.
I have Pam and Peter Stein so far.
Hi. I just had a question on the slide that you had just prior to this one that listed, another one back. Okay. At the bottom there, the Ithaca Youth Bureau, where did I see this? Someplace I saw it was $9,500. Sorry, I can't ask this question because I just lost my place. So go on to someone else and I'll...
All right. Peter Stein.
I wonder, the various restorations of $40,000 are given in an order here, although they're not, that order is not described. Is that the order that of importance? I mean, suppose, for instance, the legislature decided to restore half of the OTO, to add half of the OTRs. Can you tell us what order you would use it?
I think that would have to come from our Resource Allocation Committee. I mean, they make the recommendations based on that. We have had a couple of those discussions, but I don't know at this point where that order would be. I think that it depends on what the priority is. For Bridges for Youth and Families, for instance, this would be a reduction to their 2012 level. The others would be, in addition to that, restoring some of the funding that's been cut over time. So I can't answer that fully at this point, but we could look at that further.
Well, I'd be interested in seeing that before we had to make decisions.
Yep.
Amy, the complete dollar amount, $39.7, that's what you've lost from New York State, right?
That's actually less than what we've lost from New York State. It's a piece of that, yes.
Anyone else? Martha?
Well, you really have been hit hard over the last couple of years. The OTRs you have that have been approved are all one time. They're rollover, funded by rollover, all one time. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's a question for Joe. You haven't put any new target money into this department, even though it's been so whacked.
Right.
Why?
Good question.
Why
I
not?
I don't like kids.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that. I was thinking it. I wasn't going to show because of what you say.
Martha, it's if you look at the nature of the OTRs requested here, it should remind you of a conversation we had the other night about COFA and about some RAP money that had also been cut in Albany. And the concern that as Albany cuts, should we come in and replace state dollars from a progressive income tax with local dollars from a regressive property tax? And you all know what we fear, and that is we're going to see more of this in the coming months and years, where there may be cutbacks from the federal level to the state level, I think we have to be very cautious and careful about just replacing other dollars with our own dollars. So as a matter of approach in this budget, where we saw cuts to discretionary programs like this, or RAP, we've not recommended replacing state dollars with county dollars. It's not that we don't find them important. We love children. But it's just, again, a matter of philosophy and approach and concern about, to some degree, about precedent.
Okay, so this $30,000 in this OTR, these are dollars that are there right now, right, for 2012?
The $30,000, no, they are not. How we took on a lot of the state cut is the Resource Allocation Committee went through the programs specifically, looked at their monitoring reports, looked at their budgets, and dug through and tried to find some savings there to begin with. They were then able to, outside of bridges, that's the number that they have for 2012. Actually, even with this $9,000, they'd be slightly reduced, and there's some reasoning behind why that reduction occurred to that agency based on some of the funding that they've been able to obtain through a federal basic grant. The other four agencies, this would actually be an increase for them to restore them back to some of the levels they had previously. And that goes back to targeting employment, runaway and homeless, and then the urban piece.
So this would put them back to, like, 2010 or 9 or what, do you know?
Yeah, probably 2009, 10, maybe.
Okay.
I don't have the numbers right here. To kind of share where that is, since 2008, urban has received a 64% reduction. Bridges for Youth and Families received about a 20% reduction. The Learning Web, 13% for youth outreach, 27% for SEEP, and a 33% reduction to youth employment services. How the reductions come out is based on how the state aid cuts are and then the Resource Allocation Committee's process for that year.
Okay, it just seems like there's a return on investment that it's hard to look away from. Thanks, Amy.
I'm Peter Stein, and Will and Frank, did you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. Go ahead, Peter.
I want to address a comment or question or whatever is required to the county administrator. I'm not sure that I agree with your notion, the algorithm you're using, that if it was a cut from the state, money that the state had supplied, then we shouldn't replace that. I don't quite get it. We're not injuring, we're not either helping or hurting the state by funding these things. We're helping and hurting, or we're helping people who used to be helped by the state and now aren't anymore, but those people are still in need of help. So I don't really understand the logic in that criterion.
Well, it's a financial logic. It's not a programmatic logic. It's a financial logic, and there's a shift of burden occurring. And we've seen it to a greater or lesser degree over the past several years, whereas Albany pulls back. Often it leaves behind some real need that we've filled with local dollars. And this is one example of a shift of burden where the state is elected to withdraw support from youth programs, and we've seen it in several other areas of this budget. And again, in terms of the approach that we took in building this budget, we did not come in to replenish state dollars that had been pulled back, replace those with local property tax dollars. We just didn't have the capacity to do that.
I will.
And I understand that Joe. I guess something we've discussed in years past, of course, is the cost avoidance. By investing at the lower end of that pyramid, are we thereby saving our own tax dollars for more expensive things up? And I don't know, Amy, if your shop has had a chance to ever try to attach numbers to that, but do we have any information on As we've pulled out money and resources at the, I guess it was the municipal youth services, was there an unintended effect that we could document in terms of higher costs elsewhere?
Okay. There's I would say there's not a large body of research saying exactly that. There's information, you know, that we've heard from people. Looking at just the change, the shift in services provided was interesting for us between 2011 and 2010. So you see that when the municipal youth service system was whole, 660 less youth were served last year. However, agencies in Tompkins County served more youth. Now, they received funding reductions as well, which means they're now operating at a higher capacity with less dollars. So there's been a shift that we've seen locally, not long enough to know that that's a direct outcome at this point. We have started to look at that and continue to do that. We also know that the cost, when you're looking at the Tompkins County local cost of recreation partnership, it's about $165 per youth. When you look at youth development, it's around $250 per youth. When you move up to the targeted interventions, it's about $1,000. And then when you get to the top, you're looking at $14,000 to $220,000 per youth. So there is a huge cost difference. But again, finding the hard data is it's just difficult to prove that that's exactly what happened that shifted. Another piece to this whole thing is our community is not isolated. So while we can protect our youth that are here right now and do certain services with them, there's no isolation that someone else moving into the service or into our community won't need those higher services.
Thank you.
I have Mike and I have Dooley and now Martha.
Amy, a few years ago before you were here, the legislature took a serious look at the issues of possible consolidation of services between city and county. Mm-hmm. We learned about the different the county department basically administers grants and the city does a lot of services. I'm wondering, now that you've been here a year or two, would it make any sense for us to reopen and take a new look at that?
I think, again, they're different entities at this point. The city not only administers service, they also oversee a lot of different components like Cass Park. You know, so they have a lot of different things, whereas we're mostly focused on planning and the youth worker. They're more focused on youth. So that there's definitely a different thought process behind both departments. But with that said, there has been discussions in other areas of that. So I can't say that's absolutely not a great way to go, but I also can't say it's the best way for us. But other communities have started to look at that as well.
I have Dooley.
Gerald, this is the second time so far this group of meetings that we've heard you comment about.
Can't hear you, Dooley.
About the lack of wisdom of backfilling with property tax dollars what the state has cut from their income tax. Do you have any sense of what the total amount would be that you have treated this way? We've heard it for two different departments now.
I don't think there are many in this budget, COFA and youth. I can't think of any others right now.
Well, that's good news.
It's not to say there aren't any. I just, none come to mind right now. I
don't share your philosophy, I don't know how many times I'm going to have to worry about.
Well, let me just be clear on mine. It's not that I don't think it's wise. I think it's a policy decision that is left for a legislative body to make. And for me to recommend that we simply replace state dollars with our dollars probably is a stretch. So it's brought to you as an OTR for consideration. And, again, it's an important policy decision, and that's why it's here.
Well, I don't want to encourage the state to keep cutting either, but I'm worried about our locals. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Amy, could you give us those numbers again? You said, I got the top one, $14,000 to $220,000 per youth at the top of the pyramid.
Yep. The next one down is approximately $1,000. The one below that is approximately $250. And the one below that is $165.
Thank you very much.
And their ranges, this is the average of the range, obviously depends on the youth and what kind of services they're receiving.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Amy? Thank you very much, Amy.
Go ahead.
All right. So separate from our departmental budget is the Recreation Partnership. Here is the recommended budget. It is a 2% increase. All of the other municipalities have been asked for the same increase. It has not had an increase. The partnership has not had an increase since 2010. The participation rates continue at the same level, and all municipalities have resolved to continue the continue their participation in the partnership over the next 5 years. This is where the partnership is at this point.
I apologize for not letting you do that.
So the over-target request, which is supported by the county administrator's budget, is $1,185.
Any questions? Billy.
I confess to not having looked at the budget book in this particular one, and so I no longer know which municipalities continue as members of the REC partnership. So the easier question is which ones aren't, and whether the continuation of membership is for 1 year or a longer period.
The continuation is for 5 years. Okay. It's a five-year agreement, so it started. It'll start next year for five additional years. And then the only municipality that's not participating is the town of Lansing.
So that hasn't changed. Thank you.
Any other questions on the REC partnership? Thank you, your second time.
Yep.
We will come back here at 7 o'clock, and we have 9 minutes. And at 7 o'clock, we will be looking at probation and community justice.
Unless you will.